As 21st century Christians, we've got it pretty easy. We have to recognize this, that the state of our faith today, it's just at a different place than it was at its beginning or even in the middle, and certainly before the dawn of Christianity with our Jewish ancestors. You might remember they were longing and waiting for a Savior, wondering if he would ever come. We don't really wonder that. There's never been a moment in my life where I've wondered, am I saved? Am I redeemed? Has Jesus come for me? As 21st century Christians, we know that was the case 2,000 years ago. It's not something we really wonder. We got it pretty easy in that respect. There's not such a longing in my heart. I know I've always been redeemed. And then even you think of those early centuries of the church, they had to figure things out. For hundreds of years, they pondered and prayed and discussed, what does it mean to be Christian? And what is it that Jesus is truly God and truly man, pouring over all of our tradition, forming our creed that we just profess every Sunday? It didn't just fall out of the sky. This is something that had to be discussed and debated and fought for, but something we probably just take for granted. This is the way our faith is. We don't often think about it. And how the early church, it was raised up through the blood of martyrs, that we who come to Mass every Sunday and don't worry about being found out of being Christian and perhaps losing our life. This wasn't always the case, that those who fought for their faith, who even practiced it in secret, did so with a knowledge, this might cost me everything. I've never had to wonder that once in my life, if I might be killed for my faith. So we 21st century Christians, we have it pretty easy. And that's something to enjoy in a certain respect. I'm not advocating martyrdom. I'm not advocating that we, again, pore over our creed and wander exactly what we believe. I'm not proposing that we wander if we're saved or redeemed. It's a good thing that we can enjoy our faith as we do, but it can have a side effect that I don't have any skin in the game. It can have this side effect that I know the good news, I know the gospel that Jesus has saved us, he's redeemed us, but I can forget the bad news. And the good news doesn't have any teeth unless I remember the bad news, that I didn't deserve salvation. I didn't deserve to be redeemed. I didn't deserve for someone to come into my mess, in my sinfulness, and reach out and rescue me. That's who we are. We're a rescued people. But we've forgotten, I think, the captivity. We've forgotten that we had been captured and we had to be redeemed. We had to be rescued. And so I think this is why the church, especially in our times, constantly proposes a revival, that we might remember these things that perhaps we've forgotten. I think it can even be a good thing to pray for a grace of despair. That should be pretty shocking. But I would pray for a grace of despair, that I would sit in prayer wondering, is someone going to save me? Here I am trapped in this dark place, in this prison, without ever knowing if I'll be saved, if I'll have someone who will rescue me from my capture. Praying for that grace of despair, I think, can stir something in my heart, can awaken something in me that actually helps me practice my faith even better, even in a more fruitful way, that I can enjoy it. I can enjoy the good news better because I've had a greater grasp of the bad news. What would it look like if we read scripture in that way? If we read this story from Exodus of Moses and the Israelites making this molten calf, worshiping it, they had become depraved. And I ponder, what if the Lord, what if his wrath did blaze up? What if he didn't come and relent of his punishment? That would have been a different story, wouldn't it? A different story of Israel in their sinfulness, in their depravity, and they got just what they deserved if the Lord didn't relent of his punishment. What would it look like if we saw these parables like that today? This shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes in search of the lost sheep. What if the shepherd says, 99's good enough. And I have to sit in that place that I'm the one lost on the edge of the cliff and no one ever comes to save me. And I go over the edge. That's a thing that I might be able to pray into and realize how good it is I have a shepherd who did come and find me. What if this woman never found her lost coin? She searched for it for years and went to her deathbed, never finding it. Or the prodigal son who returned to his home, coming to his senses. He knocks on the door and there's no father there. The father left. He gave up on his son. That's a place of despair. That's a place of tragedy that I think we all ought to remember. That the Lord, in his goodness and in his kindness, he did reach out to me. He did come to me in my need. He did come and rescue me. And this is something that I should never grow comfortable with. In the 18th century in our own country, there was this movement called the Great Awakening, that Christians need to have their eyes opened. There needed to be a revival. You may be heard of American revivalism. And Jonathan Edwards was one of these fiery preachers on the East Coast. They weren't Catholics, but they did stir something, I think, that was good in some regard. They didn't have everything right, but I think they did stir something. And we might just disregard it as sensationalism or some kind of thing that can be put on the shelf. But Jonathan Edwards and those pastors of American revivalism, I think they hit on a nerve here of the human heart, that we ought to never forget the bad news. Jonathan Edwards had this now famous sermon. It was called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Is that what you came to hear today? It's a fiery sermon that we might remember my sinfulness. We might remember that I too, like the Israelites, were depraved. I, like that sheep on the edge of the cliff, I was lost. I, like that prodigal son who left home and squandered everything, I traded everything too. But thanks be to God that we had someone, a Savior, who came to us even when we didn't deserve it, and he came to free us from our captivity. He came to rescue me even when I didn't deserve it. And so this is the place I want to invite you to today. Maybe we pray for that grace of despair, that we remember the bad news today so that we would always enjoy the good news with even greater fervor. So let's come to the Lord today, thanking him for rescuing us, for coming to me in my need and giving me his only son.